Thank you and be seated, please. I'm John Byers. Let me add my word of welcome to worship at Conyers First United Methodist Church. Throughout the world today, the historic church is remembering the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is why we have this water feature today. I love it that in the Christian calendar, the baptism of the Lord comes early in the year. Because this morning I want us to think together about the experience of Jesus and His baptism from the perspective of God's affirming Word in His life. This morning I want to talk about affirmation in the midst of a negative world and the power of the Holy Spirit of God as received in your baptism to be a source of constant affirmation to fight against the negativity that surrounds us every day. This morning I want to offer to you the rite of baptismal reaffirmation. Now, in the historic tradition of the church, including the United Methodist Church, we do not rebaptize. Why? Because we believe baptism is a symbol of God choosing us first rather than our response to that choosing and receiving baptism after we choose Jesus Christ. Now, in the Deep South, we love to debate between Baptists and Methodists. At this point, it's not a debate. It's the fact that I want you to hear that God has chosen you and wants to plant His affirming presence in your life to be a source of hope in the midst of the negativity, a source of light in the darkness, a source of power for daily living. In your worship folder in the sermon outline is an introduction to the service of baptismal renewal. And I hope you will want to participate this morning by coming today to reach out to the waters of baptism. Not me rebaptizing you, because God never gives up on His faithful covenant, but we give up on God, don't we? Have you ever turned your back on God? Have you ever turned away from God? This morning is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I want to reconnect. Lord, I want to live more powerfully as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. At the end of the message this morning, you will be invited to come. If you're a guest in our presence today, be welcome. I hope you feel the affirming love of Christ through this diverse congregation. And in your worship folder is a white connection card. We're all about being connected together with each other, being connected with the Lord, and being connected with the Word of God. This morning we have something new, and I'm kind of excited about it. We have a treasure trove of Bibles over to your left, and it's there not just as a display. If you're beginning this new year and you don't have a Bible, we want you to have a Bible so that you can get connected personally with the matchless Word of God. These gifts have been prepared for you today. If you'll fill out the front of the connection card, simply let us know of your presence today. Hold on to it, and on the back side, I'll refer to it after the message this morning. You'll also have an insert about CREW. Do you? CREW? A great initiative of small groups in the life of our church. I think we have 5 or 6 CREW groups already meeting. I'd just like to know, how many of you are already a part of a CREW? Do we have some CREW folks in here dotted throughout the congregation? I'd really like for you to consider being part of a small group. What does it mean to grow more deeply in fellowship with one another, deeply in the Word of God, and deeply in service together? Robin Payne is our Director of Spiritual Formation. On the insert is an opportunity for you to learn more about CREW. Then on the back side, some opportunities for Bible studies early in 2013. They really sound exciting. And I'd like for you to begin the year getting into the power of God's matchless Word. It's a joy to welcome you to this 9:30 service, and I pray the Spirit of God will be present in your heart. In our prayers, we remember always our missionary men and women, and we remember our military men and women as well. Would you join me in these quiet moments of prayer? Eternal Father, who at the baptism of Jesus revealed Him to be your Son, declared Him to be your Son, affirmed Him to be your Son, anointing Him with the Holy Spirit. Grant to us who are born again by water and the Spirit that we may be faithful to our calling as your adopted children. Today, great God, remind us who we are, whose we are, that the affirmation of your presence be the guide each day in the year to come. We pray that you would affirm the work of our missionary men and women, giving them openings to share the gospel of Christ across lines of culture and language and nationality. For in Christ there is no east or west. In him there is no north and south, but one great fellowship of love. We pray your affirming presence in the hearts of our military men and women to remind them of their just cause of equality and democracy around the world. Grant them a hedge of protection as they choose to be in harm's way for the sake of the United States of America. Great God, reaffirm in this congregation our call to mission service on Main Street in Conyers, Georgia, and around the world, that this church in 213 might be known far and wide as a serving church, a caring church, an uplifting church, an affirming church, a believing church, a Holy Spirit church, a praying church, that truly the darkness of this world would turn to the dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. But right, great God, it is our passionate prayer that the kingdom of love and light through Jesus Christ come more fully in 2013. Great God, in the quietness of this moment, speak to our hearts your affirmation and love, your promise, your holy presence. As we hear the waters of baptism, remind us that you are constantly pouring yourself out for us. And as you pour yourself out for us, may we find our greatest joy in pouring ourselves out for others. We offer you our prayer with confidence, praying as Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Your offering to God is not just a symbol of your commitment to this great church, but indicates your heart being wrapped up in loving and caring for others. As our ushers come forward this morning, I invite you to identify with the mission and ministry of Christ and to make an investment in someone else's salvation as together we give. Jason Gray is a contemporary songwriter whose words speak to me, and these words especially speak to my heart this morning. I wonder if you know this song. I wonder if you've heard these words. Jason Gray writes, "When I lose my way, when I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I do not want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is, tell me once again who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. When my heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. If I am your beloved, Can you help me believe it? I want you to hear those words again. If I am your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you. This morning I want us to turn to the experience of Jesus' baptism found in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I'm looking this morning at Mark's witness from Mark chapter 1. And this morning as we look at this public affirmation from God, witnessed by the Holy Spirit, as to who Jesus is, I want you to listen for what I believe is one of the most affirming statements God has ever spoken. An affirming statement that I believe He wants to speak to you today. Let's listen in to the account of the baptism of Jesus. St. Mark wrote, "At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.' At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him." I hope you'll mark and memorize Mark 1, 1, 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 11. The most affirming statement that you may ever find in the Word of God. "You are my beloved son or daughter. You are mine, the one I love. In you, I am well pleased." I'd like to say a word this morning about the power of affirmation. You and I live in a negative world. Somebody say amen. You and I are surrounded every day by negative messages. What's wrong with us? The way we look, the way we act, the way we think, the way we vote, the places we go, our language, our customs. We are constantly under attack. Afraid that our breath won't be fresh. Afraid that they might see us sweat. Afraid that we might show our true selves and be pinged for our vulnerabilities. And yet there's no greater gift that any of us can receive in our spirits than a word of affirmation. To be acknowledged, to be valued, to be lifted up. I hope you grew up in an affirming family, did you? There's nothing more wonderful than to know from your earliest days that you are valued, that you were wanted, that you belong. And yet, how many of us today did not grow up in that kind of an affirming environment? I have a dear friend who, as I got to know her, spoke these words to me that I thought at first was a joke and found out it wasn't. She said, "John, I struggle every day with my self-image." And I said, "Tell me why." She said, "Because I'm an abortion that lives." I half laughed at what she said until I learned that that was not a joking matter. Her mother did not want her. Her mother went to an abortion clinic. But something went wrong, or did something go right? And she lived. But now, into her senior years, she lives every day with the sense that she was not wanted. I remember in an early church appointment that I had a distinguished older couple coming and introducing themselves to me, and a little boy was with them, and I made a terrible mistake. I asked them, "What's your grandson's name?" I quickly learned as they laughed that he was not their grandson. He was their son. And I guess trying to laugh it off, I guess trying to be cute, they said to me, "He's our little accident." Now, you might laugh at that, but I wonder, what was that saying to that little boy in his formative years to be told by his mom and dad, "You were an accident"? I wonder how many of us live every day robbed of our dignity, robbed of our worth, robbed of our value, because we allow the negative voices of others to define our self-image, our personality, and our purpose. You know, I'm really convinced the critical, negative, ugly things that people say to us has a lot more to say about who they are than who we are. Now, to be sure, we can all gain something from seeing ourselves in another person's perspective. But I'm convinced the negativity that is hurled at you, the negativity that is hurled at me, the criticism, the judgment, the unkindness really does say more about the other person than it does us. But it affects us, doesn't it? It affects us deeply. As we begin a new year, living in a broken and fallen world, surrounded by negativity, is there any hope? Or will we simply live every day giving in to the idea that my glass is perpetually half empty? That my better days are behind me, and the best I can hope for is to just grit my teeth and get through today. I want to challenge that from this experience of the baptism of Jesus. And I want you to leave today being able to clearly affirm as a believer that you are God's beloved, in whom He is well pleased. I want you to be able to fight against the negativity with the affirming presence of Christ in your life. I love the witness of Martin Luther, the great reformer of the church in the 16th century. He is famous for wrestling with the negativity of the devil. Yes, he actually believed in a personal devil. And in the midst of the Reformation, Martin Luther was getting acquainted with the Word of God for the first time in his life. Can you imagine? He was an ordained priest of the church and had never read the Bible. He was sent to Rome to study the Word of God. He then became a teacher of the Word of God in Wittenberg, Germany. And he was inspired by God to translate the Bible. Ooh, that was an illegal task. To translate the Bible from its historic languages of Greek and Hebrew, from its ecclesiastical language of Latin, into the common language of the everyday people, German. The devil assailed him at every turn. Because the devil doesn't want you to get in the Bible. Let's be honest. The devil wants the Bible to stay over there in that trunk. He doesn't want it to get into your heart. And Martin Luther has the great experience of getting so upset with the devil that he throws his inkwell at the devil. Martin Luther, as he was given birth to the Reformation, was getting so much negativity from the established church, from the state that was wed politically to the established church, that he frequently wrestled with that negativity. And I love the witness that Martin Luther gave into the midst of the negativity that was trying to drown him and keep him from his task. He spoke into the negativity with these three words: "I am baptized." He didn't say, "I was baptized as a fixed point in time. Got that checked off. Got that done." But "I am baptized, a living reality of the Spirit of God alive in our lives." I wonder if we've lost a sense of the meaning of baptism in our lives. We live in a part of the country where baptism is most often associated with our decision to follow Jesus Christ. But that is not the historic church's understanding of baptism, and I don't believe it's the Bible's understanding of baptism, because baptism is not about us choosing to follow Christ. It is all about God through Christ choosing us as His own. God makes the first move, then we respond. God extends the hand of reconciliation, and we respond. I wonder if we have lost a sense of the power of baptism, thinking that it means nothing more than joining the church, when baptism is really a continuing means of God's grace pouring His affirming presence into our lives. We do not rebaptize in this tradition. Why? Because baptism as an act of God represents God's commitment to us, a commitment that never changes. God doesn't go back on His word, does He? God doesn't violate His character, does He? God doesn't turn away from His nature, does He? Does He? But we do. And right often we do. Because we're an evangelical church, and because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and because we witness women and men coming to Jesus Christ as adults, coming to a fresh experience of Christ, I'm often asked by someone, I want to be rebaptized. See, that's this inherent understanding that baptism is all about my commitment to Christ. And I say, no, we don't rebaptize, because in your baptism, God already made a promise to you. But I know you want to return to Him. I know you want a sense of renewal in your life. So we have the service of baptismal renewal. What does that mean? You come to the waters of baptism and take up again your part in the covenant, your part in the relationship. And that's what I hope you'll want to do today. To say, God, I've fallen away. And I've let the negativity of the world define my character. And I have found I'm a person whose glass is half empty. But Lord, I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to live with the constant refreshment, the constant power, the constant affirmation of Your Holy Spirit. Your presence, as Jesus experienced Your presence, Your word, You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. Now, I'd like for us to move from Mark 1 to a practical application of the affirmation of Christ's presence in your life. And I'd like for you to turn with me toward the back of your New Testament to the small book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter, written, we believe, by St. Peter, the first among the disciples, the early leader of the church, who speaks an extended form of the affirming presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. I want you to underline these words. I want this to be your, 1 Peter 2, 9, to be your memory verse for the week. Peter writes, "But you, every baptized, every believing person, you are," notice four things, "a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." Why? "That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once, Peter says, "you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, only receiving condemnation, only receiving judgment. But now," what? "Through Christ, you have received mercy." I want to offer you four very brief affirmations that you can make in your life. four pillars that uphold the power of God's Spirit for you as you face down the negativity that surrounds you, as you allow Christ to make your glass half full, not half empty, as you speak into the negativity with the words of Martin Luther, I am baptized. From 1 Peter 2:9, what are these four affirmations? First and foremost, I am a chosen person. Not a mistake, not an abortion that lived, not an afterthought. God knew you before you were born. God has a plan for your life before you were even brought into the world. And I want you to affirm about yourself, you are not an accident. You are chosen by God from His heart of love. Isaiah the prophet gives voice to the heartbeat of God. But now, this is what the Lord says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it? Perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Here, friends, He's not talking about being a landscaper. He's not talking about the terra firma. He's not speaking literally of the earth. He's speaking about your soul. Through the negativity, through the heartbreak, through the lack of value you feel, He wants to make a way in the wilderness and streams. Get the biblical allusion to water. Streams in the wasteland. Why? To give a drink to my people, my chosen. Have you ever been really, really thirsty? I mean really thirsty. There is nothing that quenches the thirst of life like water. Coca-Cola can't do it. Other fizzy things that you drink on the weekend can't do it quite like water. He says, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. St. Augustine, my favorite father of the early church, said it so well, thou hast created us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. Can you say about yourself? Will you say about yourself? I don't care what anybody else says. God says, I'm chosen. I am chosen. Secondly, I'm a royal priest. Now, we have a bit of a struggle in the Southern tradition about the concept of being a priest. We certainly believe in the priesthood of all believers. But priest is a perfectly stout word, both Old Testament and New Testament, and it means one who is charged with this task to bring somebody else. Do you know that's your ultimate purpose? To bring somebody else to the waters of life. To see Jesus in you, to meet Jesus through you, and to be redeemed. For those of you who are parents, that ought to be just like right at the top of your top 10 list of the things you want to do for your children. You want to bring them to a personal decision for Jesus Christ. You're a priest. Who are you bringing in 2013 to know Christ and the power of His resurrection? The book of Revelation speaks of all of the redeemed as priests who surround the throne of God, constantly praising Him. John wrote, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy, Lord Jesus, to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them, that's us, a kingdom and priests to serve God, and they will reign on earth. Can you live into your calling to be a priest and say, I am a priest, and in 2013, I'm going to lead somebody to Jesus Christ? Thirdly, I am holy to the Lord. Gosh, we struggle with the term holiness, but yet that's a foundational principle of Methodist theology, sanctification. Being so thoroughly changed by the Spirit of God that we can, because we want to, love God, love neighbor. Why? Because we finally come to love ourselves. When I was a little boy, I was mischievous. and I got into trouble. And I didn't always tell the truth. Like the time my mama waxed the kitchen floor. You remember the old days when mamas had to wax kitchen floors? And us three boys were told, don't cut through the kitchen. You had to go through the kitchen to get to the den. And way back in the 70s, there was only one TV, and it was in the den. And she said, don't you dare cut through the kitchen until it dries. Yes, ma'am. Well, I just couldn't resist. So I walked through the kitchen. John, I heard. Yes, ma'am. Did you walk through the kitchen? No, ma'am. I waited till it was dry. She said, come here. What are those footprints in the wax? My mama felt the need before I went to school to say, remember, be a good boy. Don't you wish you didn't need somebody to tell you to be good? Instead, you want to be good. Because it's no longer an effort. You've been so reconciled with yourself. You've experienced such a power from the presence of God that you just want to love and affirm and help others. That's what holiness is about. I wonder, do you pray about that? I want to be good as He is good. Listen to the way Peter put it. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We don't preach about it as Methodists like we should, and it grieves the heart of John Wesley. But it should be our goal to be so utterly transformed that we can be made perfect, get me, perfect in love for others. And lastly, Peter says, I am a special possession. Special. Chosen. Affirmed. Titus writes, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no. Holiness in action. No to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us, to break the power of all wickedness, and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, get this, eager to do good. This is my goal for 2013. I wonder if it'll be your goal to base my self-worth not on the negative, judgmental opinions of others, but on the opinion of my Heavenly Father who says, by faith, you are my beloved. I am chosen. And I am chosen to be a conduit of grace to call somebody else to new life. I am a priest. And I choose to be holy. I don't want to have to be reminded to do good. I want that to be my new spirit-bought desire. And I want to be God's special possession, who is seen by others as a conduit of good grace. I know you're facing challenges. I know you're facing negativity. I'd like for you to get in touch with what God says to you because you were baptized. And speak into the negativity that is around you every day. And with the confidence of Martin Luther, say, I am baptized. And so now I'd like to invite you to join me in the rite for baptismal reaffirmation. And if you'll look to the third page of the outline this morning, you will find our service beginning with the introduction to the service. brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of holy baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Since the earliest times, the vows of the baptismal covenant have consisted first of the renunciation of all that is evil, and then the profession of faith and loyalty to Christ. So on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? Do you? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Will you? Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. You brought their children through the Jordan to the land you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on this gift of water. Call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share His final victory. And together we say, all praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Isaiah reveals the heart of God. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of faith. May this promise be real as you come to reaffirm your vows of baptism. As you will, I invite you to come by the center aisle. Simply take your fingers and reach out to the waters of baptism. And then, if you wish, touch the waters to your forehead, and perhaps you would say, I belong to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are invited to come to the waters of baptism and renew now your covenant with our mighty God.
I lose my way and I forget my name. Remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Like a stone, and I'm running far from home. Remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it?
Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated, please. As we complete our service this morning, I invite you to turn to the back of the connection card. How proud I would be to have you become a part of this great community of faith, and I'd love to serve as your pastor. Intercede for you before the throne of grace. The bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. And I was thinking as I was praying about today, that maybe this morning you really are gripped by negativity. Negativity because of the words somebody else has spoken to you. Heck, negativity that you are speaking to yourself. I would like to join you in breaking through that negativity with God's affirming word. You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. As the music continues, I invite you to complete your connection card, fold it over, and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center this morning. What a great day to be together, and I hope we'll be together every day of this new year. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. I claim this now for you and mark you as a servant of the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and good morning.